Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I don't even know what a good cold open is. Let's start the show and maybe a cold open will come to us and then we'll cut it out. And then, you know what? I know what it is. Let's do a 5-hour long cold open and then not release it. Like have Mike say like, no guys, this is too long. I'm not editing this. This is ridiculous. You can't do a five hour cold open before the actual podcast. And then like we get release the bell cut. Okay. And which actually sounds like a hairstyle from the 90s, but regardless, release the Flashcraft, the flash TV talk cut, the flash talk cut, the panel to screen cut, release it, hashtag rose colored, hashtag release the rose colored cut, and then people will get that going, and then the cold open, everybody's gonna say it was like way better with the cold open, but they won't know because the cold open wasn't released, because Mike wouldn't let it happen. It's the studio's fault. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why you're not listening to this right now, unless we're like, you know, 12 years into the future after the third pandemic, and then finally we got the funds, like $50 million or however much.
$70 million.
$70 million that people finally gave us to release the cut, rose-colored, this, the cut you're listening to. Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think you should be so snide-er-cut. All these comments, they're so snide-er-cut.
Welcome to Panel to Screen. Oh, I'm Bell.
I'm Bell.
Bell, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Yes, it is Panel to Screen, the most unnecessary show on the internet. That's right. It's two guys talk about movies, talk about comic books, talk about comic book movies. It's been a minute since we done one of these, but as you may recall,
yeah, we spent the whole time watching the Snyder Cut.
So that's right. No man, we're excited to be back and doing a Panel to Screen. Of course, Flash, the Flash series, the CW Flash series is off this week and for the next few weeks. And so we thought, hey, this is the perfect time prior to jumping back into the 90s. Let's make sure that we get our proper Panel to Screen, rose-colored retrospective-esque look, like you know, of the Justice League Snyder Cut. Now this is a true. This is like rose-colored retrospective to the max. This is like rose-colored retrospective the movie.
Yeah, basically.
Because basically that's what it is. Everybody was talking about like, oh, you know, really, this movie, Justice League, which a lot of people didn't like, and we were among them.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, we were not what you might call fans of Justice League.
It was not, quote,
we were not
good.
Right. And so, you know, there was an attempt that was made, I believe, to be positive, even when we did review the movie. I'm pretty sure I made mention of the fact that it was kind of like a sci-fi cosmic fantasy, but not necessarily a good Justice League movie. I can't remember. I was trying to be positive, but you can only do so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, there's not a lot to work with there.
And Bell, you are ever the purist. I remember like when Ant-Man came out, you were very anti, you know, Ant-Man. Well, I mean, you were pro Ant-Man, but you were like, oh, but we didn't really get to see the true vision of what Ant-Man is because it got Marvelized or MCU-ized.
Like Edgar Wright, you know, I wanted to see Edgar Wright's script and, you know, what he did. But, you know, this is a slightly different case because he left the project before filming started, I believe.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, this is totally, I mean, like, it's been talked to death. There's no real reason to dive into all the various reasons why the movie never came out the way it was. But today on Panel to Screen, we are going to talk about the movie that is the Jack Snyder's Justice League.
Jack Snyder.
Is it not Jack?
it's Zack Snyder.
It's Jack Snyder. No. It was Zack Snyder. about. This is how he got the Snyder Cut released. He changed his name.
I gotcha.
I mean, to Jack.
Can't even keep your riffs internally consistent.
I don't know, man. I've been up for 12 days watching this movie, so my mind might be a little fried. Let's talk about this though. I don't want to get into too much of the details because again, it has been talked about to death. But what was your because the Snyder Cut, it got kind of pseudo political, not in an actual political sense, but in the sense of like, you know, there were camps, there were factions, if you will, that kind of formed around the notion of whether or not a Snyder Cut even existed, whether or not it would actually help if it did. Where were you in the early days before it was announced? What was your position? Which camp did you find yourself in on the Snyder Cut front?
I think I was in the I don't think there is a like cut sitting around. Like I didn't think that he had, like, I knew he had finished a bunch of filming, but I thought everything took place sort of like halfway through like principal filming and stuff like that. And so that there was a bunch that he didn't get to film of his vision. And that, you know, not that he cut a whole movie together and the studio was like, nah, we're not going to do that. Like, I didn't think that that was the case. I thought that the Snyder Cut was just like half a movie of the stuff that he had filmed. And then they brought Joss Whedon in to finish it. That was what I thought.
That was your assumption beforehand.
Yeah.
Before, like, and so what was your feelings towards the fan movement?
I felt misguided, because I didn't think that there was anything, like, I didn't think that there was, you know, a cut of this movie that the studio was sitting on. Like, I thought it was, they want Snyder to make a cut and give his director's cut kind of thing. And that, like, if they're going to have to go and refilm all this stuff, like, I just didn't think that that was something that was going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. So you would say you were Snyder Cut neutral.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not saying, you know, I will.
Because you certainly weren't anti-Snyder.
No, I wasn't. You know, I was. Yeah, sure. Whatever. You know, I'd like to see Zack Snyder's movie. I don't think it's ever going to happen. You know, that was kind of my take on it. Now, the tactics that some of the Snyder Cut people used, I didn't approve of or agree with. The, you know, like, internet bullying and so forth, that a lot of the, like, there's a lot of toxicity around that movement, which I don't necessarily agree with. But, you know, I'd have been like, okay, sure. If they decided they wanted to make a Snyder Cut, I would have watched it for sure. And clearly I did. But I didn't think it was ever going to happen because I didn't think that Snyder had all of this stuff filmed and could just, you know, basically put something together, $70 million reshoots aside.
Yeah. All right. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. You know, I was kind of anti-Snyder Cut, if I'm being totally honest. I thought the movement, as you say, was very misguided. You know, even without diving into the depths of you know, more of the aggressive tactics and you know, that were used, I generally thought this seems like a odd hill to die yeah. on. Because as a whole, the DC universe, the DC extended universe or expanded universe, whatever you want to call it, has not been like what you might call a success. It has not been a franchise. And this is after, you know, you and I have done, well, I mean, obviously this was before that, but I say that with the, and still say that with the experience that you and I have had doing a rose-colored retrospective on literally every single movie in this universe as it is, looking for the positive, getting hyped, and really, you know, kind of looking at what could have or did rather work in this franchise. But on a whole, if you're gonna like go to the mattresses, this is your franchise? Like, and this is the film? Really? Like, but having said that, and again, without any you know, approval of all, I'm not expressing approval for all the tactics that were used by the movement, I do have to say, I kind of get it now. I kind of get it, because this really was kind of that cornerstone. You know what I mean? Like that linchpin that is holding a narrative together really is this movie. A lot of what was laid out in the films before, and you can really kind of see where things are going, are all tied up into kind of the pure Snyder Cut of Justice League. And in much the same way that what I said all the way back when we reviewed Age of Ultron was true. I said that I think we will go back and look at it. You commented on that movie saying that it was a rough film. There was too much going on. and it wasn't a very good, like, structured movie. And I didn't disagree with you, but I said then, and this has continued even to this day to be the case, that I think we will look back at Age of Ultron as one of the most, you know, important films in the MCU, and will be kind of that block, that film that is in the center of the bridge that is literally holding up everything. And I think this is what Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League, was intended to be. And now, having seen it, I think that's what it is, with all its flaws.
And that, yeah, and that's to say, you know, it's not like there are a lot of takes about this movie. The ones who say that it was worse than Joss Whedon's version, I believe, are wrong.
Now, who said nobody
the ones
says
who
that?
Who say that it's the best movie that's ever been made are also
people
wrong.
On Twitter. On Twitter, those are Snyder bots. That's not a nobody really thinks that.
Yes, I people on Twitter I cried.
I can't. If you, dear listener, are one of these people and you are real,
yeah, I mean the people on Twitter,
let
really
us know
that.
If you think this movie was the greatest movie of all time, I think that's just Twitter speak. I don't think that's real speak.
I don't know. People are saying like it's cinema perfection. Like there is nothing that's been done before or will be done since that will surpass Zack Snyder's vision. And I've seen tweets like that and stuff, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, Twitter also said that people were going to be studying the Game of Thrones finale for decades to come.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't trust Twitter on these things, my friend.
Well, you know, I would hope that those opinions are not genuine, and that they're you know, either paid for by the studio, or they're ironic, or things like that.
Yeah.
But yes.
Okay.
But anyway, like, you know, all that said, you know, if you think it's garbage or if you think it's the best thing that's ever made, you're both wrong.
Everybody's wrong.
No. Like, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Joss Whedon's or Justice League, as I like to call it, was not a good movie.
Right.
It was not a good movie. And we've talked about that in our previous panel to screen. Zack Snyder's Justice League is a good movie. It's an entertaining movie. For being 4 hours long, it's entertaining. It's fun. It works. The story works. It's good. It's not perfect. There are issues with it. Lots of issues. But for the most part, as an overall, you know, film experience, it's good and it's fun and it's entertaining. And it doesn't feel like it's 4 hour runtime. And it's way better than the Justice League. But that's not saying a lot at all.
All right, so let's talk about this. Let's start off with, what did we like? Like, what was the improvements? You know, what really made this movie work and really justify its own existence?
I'll go first. Sure. I liked the new scenes with the Flash. There are some things about them that we will talk about.
Yes.
I liked the Flash having a purpose in this film. I especially like Cyborg having a purpose in this film. And I thought Cyborg's story was really interesting, the relationship with his father and stuff. And you see some really interesting aspects with the other characters. Like, I believe in Jack, I said it too, Jack Snyder's. it's Jack Snyder's Justice League. That's what I was trying to say.
Yes.
that's what I was trying to say.
Jack Snyder's Justice League. Yeah.
Yeah. But in Zack Snyder's Justice League, I believe Aquaman's father is dead. And so you really get to see some really somewhat subtle kind of moments between Aquaman and Cyborg, where he's relating to him a lot, like about, you know, he's seen when his father dies, when Victor Stone dies, you know, and different things like that. These different little character moments that are in there that work. And speaking of Aquaman, I liked the additional Aquaman scenes that they had in there.
Mm.
It worked really well. Like, you know, you had Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, the old man in the sea.
Yeah, I kept wanting to say William H. Macy. I was like, no. Anyway, like, that scene makes sense. He's like throwing these things at his feet, saying, you have to be the person that you're supposed to be. And he's like, nah. And then in the Justice League, he was like, oh, yeah, by the way, Mira, can you give me my mom's trident? You know, there's different things like that. And so Flash scene's good. Extended Aquaman scene stuff good. Cyborg things good. Their decision to resurrect Superman made sense.
Yes.
Steppenwolf was better.
Mm.
Steppenwolf was a lot better. His motivations made more sense. He felt more threatening. despite being vulnerable at the same time, which is really interesting.
Yes, yes. What a great way to put that. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, he didn't feel like this, you know, oh, he's just unstoppable. Because like they fight him, right? And they make progress and stuff, but he's, you know, he's able to, like, you know, you can see that he's getting hurt, but he's still this powerful dude. And so, like, that was really interesting. I really appreciated that. The addition of Darkseid and Desaad, those things were really neat. The resurrection of Superman and how he comes back, and like, it sort of makes sense in the context of this movie, because they explain the change engine and all that kind of stuff, and why he would come back and be crazy, and how he needed, I guess, Lois to kind of like anchor him back to reality, so to speak.
Yeah.
The montage with Jor-El and John Kent.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was good. That was
like,
good.
Like, all that kind of stuff made sense. The fact that, like, he shows up and they still lose and Flash has to save everything, that was cool.
That,
like,
was awesome. Yes.
Yeah, like, there were a lot of things in this movie. Like, I think Zack Snyder's original vision works. I think what he tried to do worked. And from all accounts and everybody opinions that I read online, Zack Snyder's a really, really awesome dude and a really great dude. I just don't think he's the best filmmaker. I think his vision for this film actually works. Like, I really do. And all of those things, there's probably more things that I'm forgetting about, but yeah, like, it was way better of a movie.
Yeah.
And those are the things that I like.
No, absolutely, man. I'm right there with you. Let's talk about the Cyborg storyline. I think, you know, in terms of like the overall addition, Flash and Cyborg both have kind of the largest, you know, just the largest overall stories that were added, and Cyborg in particular. I mean, he really is. I mean, I think this is something that we heard a lot of, but it ended up being, you know, extremely true, which is that Cyborg really is the heart of this movie. Like, his story is at the very heart of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I could agree with that.
And, you know, as you mentioned, his relationship with his dad, you know, he's one of the things I feel like in the Justice League, and it's impossible to not compare these two movies. These movies exist to compare against each other, to be honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, to be like, honestly, Snyder's Justice League works so well because of how bad Justice League is and how much that failed. I don't know that this movie would have been as successful had it released when it did. I think there is kind of, you know, some legitimate criticism that can be laid. And I think overall where the story is going, I think we are more receptive to receive what Snyder's vision is as an audience now because of how bad things got with the franchise, and then just with the world, to be honest. It's a movie for our time and not the time that it was intended for. So, I mean, like, there's a lot, there's a lot there to go off of. But no, I think if you look at, you know, what this movie did with Cyborg, he was us. He was our Kitty Pryde. You know what I mean?
Yes.
No, think about like in X-Men, right? Like Kitty Pryde, or you know what? This will track a little bit better for you. In the X-Men television series, the 90s series.
Yeah.
Jubilee. He's our Jubilee.
Yeah.
Jubilee shows up in like the pilot and she's like, what's a mutant? What's going on? Like, there's like that question of like, what all is happening and what is even any of this even? And that's who he is through the lens of kind of a lot of like, angsty, I should be dead, and I've got parental issues on top of that. Like, there was a deep story with Cyborg that did not exist at all in the Justice League version.
Yeah, no, and it's like, why was that stuff cut out? Like, that, those are the questions that I have. It's like, there's all these things that did work, and then Joss Whedon threw in a bunch of garbage that doesn't.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to be a Joss Whedon apologist by any stretch of the imagination here, but I do think that Joss was given a job, and that job was to like ham it up a little bit, make it more Marvel sounding, and specifically more like Whedon Marvel as opposed to the, you know, Russo brothers. Yeah. Yes, this is the Whedon era Avengers kind of tone, or Whedon era Marvel tone that they were essentially wanting this movie to have. And so I think he was hired to come in and do that. And I think that's exactly what he did. So I don't, as much as obviously his name is all over it and Joss Whedon is certainly not above criticism, he did the job he was brought in to do.
Yeah. I mean, like, if their job was to take a movie that is very, very dissimilar from Marvel movies and make it like a Marvel movie, as far as tone, and with no other considerations whatsoever, sure.
That's what I'm telling you, man. I think that's exactly what it was. So, you know, hey, he did the job he was brought in to do, but it doesn't work. And I think a large part of this, I mean, I mentioned this before when we kind of did our after show discussion about the Flash scenes. I think that the studio made a massive mistake in having Snyder drive their Justice League franchise. And I think they realized that far too late. But the reality is they were already on the roller coaster that they themselves constructed and built. And they tried to get off of it while it was like, you know, mid-circle.
Yeah, it was doing a loop-de-loop, and they're like, let's bail.
And yeah, to some extent, it's like, guys, you would have done better to let this thing finish. It wouldn't have been great, but like, you know, this was not the thing to do. like bring a Joss in, trying to like go completely different direction after the rails have already been built and you're like upside down on a roller coaster. Like, look, critique it, start over again, fine, but get off the roller coaster before you build a new one. That's kind of the way that I see that relationship.
Yeah, it seems to me like the problem from the start was what Zack Snyder wanted to do versus what the studio wanted to do. Zack Snyder wanted to do the Injustice storyline. Like, hands down, I think that's what his intent was.
Yeah, which is, I think, fine, except for that's not a good way to introduce the Justice League to general audiences. You know what I mean?
I mean,
you know, to put it in Marvel terms, I think that's more of like a Phase 4 or Phase 5 type story. You don't go out the gate. I think that was a bad business decision.
I disagree. I feel like Superman, okay, Batman, Wonder Woman, those characters are so iconic that like you can sit there and you can say like when you're advertising this, when you're marketing it, that this is like an Elseworlds type tale or like a different tale, or you know, maybe not bring in different universes and stuff like that for the general audience, but be like, you know, a dark interpretation of the DC Justice League brought to you by Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
You know, like do it like that, because the thing is like the Injustice storyline is an Elseworlds. It's not what happens in the comics, right? Superman doesn't go rogue in the comics. Like it's Elseworlds stuff. And so if you bring us into this universe with Man of Steel, which as a segue into this sort of Injustice style universe works, and then your next movie is Batman v Superman, which you kind of have a Kingdom Come sort of vibe to it, and Batman's established, and for some reason he hates Superman. There's tons of issues with that movie, but like, you know, but it's starting down this sort of like not traditional comic booky kind of path. And so I don't know. I feel like they should have just marketed it as some kind of like alternate take from the get go. Imagine, because remember whenever I was getting all hype about Guillermo del Toro's Justice League Dark?
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like going, yes, there's no one else I could think of to helm that movie other than Guillermo del Toro. And if that had been the talk, right? If it had been like, yeah, Zack Snyder's doing the Injustice League, or sorry, the Injustice storyline. Like, how cool would that be? Like that, yeah. Like, I think that would have been a lot more palatable to people. And, you know, people be like, "What's the Injustice storyline?" Or they're doing like an alternate version of the Justice League. Because that's the thing, is like people go into Superman movies, and a lot of times these DC movies, you know, they have a perception of the character from the comics, and then when they're not presented that way at all, it can be kind of jarring, you know. I don't know. I feel like it was just marketing could have done it better, perhaps. I don't know.
No, I think you're right, but that wasn't what they wanted. Like, that was never what they wanted.
But that's what Zack Snyder like laid out for them. Like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And then he starts to do it and they're like, oh no. You know, like
they didn't know what they wanted.
Right. And I don't think that's fair. Like,
it's Zack Snyder. Kids love the Zack Snyder. Look at what he did.
Well, I think the problem was is that, you know, they didn't want 10 movies or 5 movies or whatever until their first team up.
Right.
And so Zack said, here's my plan. I'm going to do this. And then we're going to have Man of Steel. We're going to have Batman v Superman. We're going to have Justice League 1 and 2. Like, oh, Justice League. Oh, you're going to have team up movie, the third movie. Okay. Yeah. Great. 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 Whatever. I feel like that's what it was. It's like, you know, and they didn't either understand his vision or know what he was trying to do. And they just heard team up movie, third movie, big bucks. Let's do it.
Buku dollars. And now we're off to the races.
Yeah. And granted, you know, that's the thing that kills me about this whole thing is that, like, Zack Snyder's Justice League was entertaining and it was good. And it was preceded by Batman v Superman, which was just god awful. And I don't know how you go from Batman v Superman.
But that was his movie.
Like, I that's what I'm saying. That was his. He did that.
Right.
Like, is there some story behind the scenes that we don't know of? Like is this a David Ayer Suicide Squad cut kind of thing?
I think we got, like, that's the thing. The reason why, in my mind, and I know we said we weren't going to do this, but now we are doing this. So this is just what's happening. The reason to me, it seems that the decision was made to pull the plug was because of how bad the response to Batman v Superman was. And that's where I'm like, okay, like I think with Batman v Superman, he told the story he wanted to tell. I don't think there's any kind of studio meddling or anything else.
Yeah. Which makes me wonder, had he not had to leave the project due to, you know, the tragedy that that happened in mm-hmm. his life. Mm-hmm. Well, and actually, I guess the answer, I already know the answer to this question. The answer to this question is yes. Because all the stuff, the $70 million reshoots that they did, from what I understand, was primarily the nightmare sequence at the end.
Yeah.
And he had just about everything else.
Well, and I have a feeling that Martian Manhunter was never in. Like, I know he said, like, oh, I always intended it, but I'm looking back at these scenes, like, both of these Martian Manhunter scenes seem so wedged in here. There's no way this was part of the plan. Like, it's cool that was part of your headcanon, and that's what you wanted to do. But, like, this was never supposed to be part of this movie. I there's no way this was supposed to be part of this movie.
Yeah, I think yeah, that would make sense to me, because the whole nightmare sequence and stuff like that, you know, you can look at Ben Affleck and he looks more haggard.
Yeah. That's Ben Affleck quarantine. That's quarantine Affleck right there.
Yeah. So can we talk about the Martian Manhunter scene?
Yeah,
Martha Kent one.
Go for it.
That was a great scene up until she turned into Martian.
Yeah, that was unnecessary. Totally unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary.
And I get, why couldn't, that's the thing. I guarantee when that was shot, filmed, acted, nobody was thinking like, oh, but you know, she's really the Martian Manhunter. Like, no, that was wedged in there, my friend.
Yeah, like, why couldn't Martha Kent be the person to, like, inspire her to go back? Like, what's wrong with it? Why does it have to be Martian Manhunter?
I think because Snyder has been saying that, you know, Martian Manhunter was the Sergeant General dude, and then it's now you get your movie, and I think he was kind of scrambling to make it happen, and so it's like, oh, well, where can I fit him in? This is supposed to be how it was all along.
Yeah, and it just, you know, all that does is just raise more eyebrows about, like, why didn't Martian Manhunter step in and all these different things, and, like, how come he wasn't there to help the Justice League? I don't know. Like, you know, he's acting from the sidelines and all. Yeah, I just... The scene at the end with Ben Affleck, whatever, you know, sure, you can shoehorn him in there, and that's fine.
That was the spot. That was definitely the spot where it's like, this is acceptable, but this is, I mean, like, this was clearly never intentioned, but it's acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole Martha Lois scene was great until she turned into Martian Manhunter. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, come on. Like, why are you going to ruin that moment for Martha? Like, why can't she
Martha,
be important? In,
why'd you ruin it for Martha?
Because, like, how poetic would that be, right? Like, Martha is who saved Batman and Superman from killing each other. Oh, wow. And then Martha is who saved the Justice League from Superman killing all of them by convincing Lois to go back to the park. And as opposed to being, like, you know, Batman's secret weapon or whatever that Justice League did. That was dumb.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
But, like, yeah. So, you know, like, that inspiration there, like, you know, it and that's what I'm saying. Like, Zack Snyder's just, he's good at the things that he does, but he's not, like, the best filmmaker.
No, he's not. He's absolutely not.
It's kind of like Michael Bay. You know, Michael Bay is great at summer blockbuster action movies. Ooh. And that's it.
Interesting. You know what? That's a good comparison, actually. He's like an ethical Michael Bay.
Yeah, like, if Michael Bay wasn't a scumbag.
Yeah, exactly. If Michael Bay wasn't a scumbag and was more into slow-mo, which, I mean, to be fair, he already is. But, like,
And Jesus allegory and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, and you know, hallelujah.
take Michael Bay, strip out all the scumbag, and insert a bunch of like religious overtones and slow motion. And
just take out all the American flags song. And put in the cross. And there you go. That's it. That's it. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And all the sleazeball stuff. And then you're good. You got yourself a Zack Snyder, right? That you want Zack Snyder's? That's how you get yourself a Zack Snyder.
And again, like, you know, I'm not like ragging on Zack Snyder. He's like a really good person, which is way more important than the quality of films that you make.
Well, yeah,
like,
let's be real here.
I mean, you know, like of qualities that you want to see in a human being, Zack Snyder possesses those qualities. Of qualities you want to see in like a good movie director, he has some. Like, he can shoot really good.
No, he's good at what he's doing. Really, give him credit. Like you said, he is good at what he does.
Yeah.
He is very good at what he does. And I mean, like, for 300, come on. That was great in 300.
Yeah, yeah. And like
Watchmen had its moments. The creative differences,
again,
I think.
Moments. He is good at moments. The problem is you can't string a bunch of moments together to make a movie.
I mean, he did, though, and it was 300 and it was fantastic. Like, that's the thing. Like, it can be done. It just has to be the right story for it. And admittedly, here it worked better because he had the time to stretch like he likes to stretch.
Yeah.
That's a rare thing for him.
Yeah. And in fact, like, the overall story, I think, works. And the only real problem that I have are certain moments in the film. Like, that's what's so ironic to me about this movie is that, like, as a whole, it works better than other Zack Snyder movies. There are just some moments that just don't make sense and don't need to be there or too long or have, you know, fundamental weird issues with them.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about The Flash.
Speaking of fundamental weird issues.
You like that transition?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
The Flash scene. No, hold on. The Flash scene was great. It was perfect up until the part where you started to get creepy.
You can't go up and touch her hair, man. You can't do that.
Like, if you want to sit there and like stare into her eyes longingly, because, like, you know, that's the love of your life. Okay, that's great, but, like, you know, caressing her when she's essentially unconscious is just kind of weird to me.
Not okay. But you know what? He didn't choke her out, so, you know, props for Ezra for that. But no,
you'd bring that up.
Oh, I've got a couple of those. We haven't talked about the fact the movie's under production right now.
Yeah, it is.
It is. And so far as we know, Ezra has not choked out anybody
on set.
But I don't know how many fans they're allowing on site right now.
Probably not very many.
But regardless.
But I mean, yeah, but you know, yeah, that scene I thought was wonderful, except for it got creepy when, like, you know, you touch your hair and brush it out of the way. Like, I don't know. That was just kind of odd to me. I don't think it needed to be in there. I think he could have just, like, you know, stared at her for a moment and then realized, I got to save her right quick before everything goes to crap. Like, and then he saves her, right? As opposed to, like, rubbing her hair out of the face. And I don't know. That just seemed bizarre because.
Can't touch her hair, dude.
She's essentially unconscious because, like, you know, her brain is not processing stuff as fast as his. And so, like, yeah, it's just really creepy. Other than that, I love that scene.
Yes, exactly. Other than that, there's a great scene, great sequence. Good to see him using his powers. Good to see him more established in this kind of take on the Flash, which makes a lot more sense, especially even with the rest of the movies. Like, we got a chance to see, like, Flash was in Suicide Squad, and we saw him, like, taking out Captain Boomerang. Yeah. And so it was good to see, like, okay, no, this is a Flash that actually is comfortable. And not only is he comfortable with his powers, like, he has a deeper understanding of the Speed Force and time. And like,
that was so awesome. That was so cool. I was so glad to see that.
Incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. Probably one of the, I mean, like, you know, we've seen some pretty epic moments on the CW series. But, dude, we have seen nothing like that racing against the apocalypse at the end of this movie. That was, for all of my criticism of Ezra Miller and, like, whether or not I would choose him to be Barry Allen, I was cheering for him in that moment. Like, that was absolutely, and then the line that he says about, Dad, tell him, you know, your son was one of them. Like, what? This is incredible.
Yeah, like, super
this
good.
This was incredible.
So and the whole characterization of the Flash was much better in this movie.
Much,
like,
better,
like,
yes.
The nerdy kind of, like, I mean, he still kept the nerdy, awkward.
No, it was still Ezra's Flash, absolutely.
But it wasn't dialed to 11, like, it wasn't the Justice League. in this movie, it felt more, I guess, grounded in his character. I don't know.
Absolutely. It worked.
It worked. Yeah. It works. Yeah.
I think that's the big thing. And before, it was just awkward in a way that didn't work. Here, the awkwardness worked.
Yeah. It made sense. I feel as if Zack Snyder probably understands, maybe he's dealt more with kids and young adults, like, on the spectrum, and he has a better understanding of how they work, whereas Joss Whedon was, you know, kind of troping it out really bad.
Well, I mean, he was just looking for the laughs, and he's like, oh, well, you know, he's a young kid and everything.
Anyway, Snyder's the way he directed Ezra to portray the Flash was way better than Joss's reshoots.
Absolutely. So, look, I will say this. I mean, this movie got me more excited than I ever have been for a Flash movie with this Flash, with this Speed Force, with this universe. That scene, I know, did kind of pseudo set up. I mean, you know, we got Iris, but we didn't actually get a chance to, like, you know, did she maybe have one line, or did she even have a line?
No, she said, come on, when the car wouldn't start.
Right. So, I mean, like, she was barely in this movie, but at the same time, she was in the movie. And so all of that is to kind of tease what is potentially to come down the road. Kind of excited to see where that goes. And as we just mentioned, of course, production has started on The Flash. We've actually gotten a chance to see the new logo. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I saw it on I thought it was going to be a video because it looked, you know, it had the little play sign when I was scrolling through Twitter. And I was like, oh, we're going to get a glimpse. And it was just the Flash logo. And I was like, okay, well, cool, I guess.
Yeah, I will say, like, you know, definitely hype, because that means that something is happening. But beyond that, right, it looks a lot like the CW's logo, actually.
Yeah, very, very familiar. But then again, you know, the Flash's colors are red and gold, and there's lightning involved. So, like, I don't know how you like make it your own without making it completely different.
Yeah, true. Although they did do that with this movie, with the yellow, or rather with the blue and white as kind of the main Flash, you know, or at least Speed Force colors.
Yeah.
So I am very curious to see. It was kind of actually encouraging to see that they were using red and yellow so prominently in the logo. I thought they might be going in a different direction with it. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where they go with the movie. And like I said, you know, hey, I think that Ezra has brought something interesting into his character of Barry Allen. I think it fits within this universe. I think this movie definitely justifies that character and that take.
Yeah.
A lot more, because we are looking at him as part of an ensemble in this universe. How that's going to translate into, you know, his own film, who knows? But if what we got in that, like, race against the apocalypse scene was just a taste, I am here for it, man. And, you know, we know what we know at this point, which is that there's going to be a lot of multiverse involved, a lot of, you know, multiple timelines involved. And it, I mean, like, we could be looking at a really, really exceptional movie, hopefully. And I mean, we just need to all, you know, pray that Ezra Miller doesn't see any fans that he can just go around and choke out. Because although apparently he can get away with that for some reason. You know, that's fine. You know, good thing he didn't tweet that he wanted to choke somebody out. He'd be canceled.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
He could actually choke somebody out. All right, I know. I'm still confused by all that, but fine. Yeah. All right, well, good deal. So there you go. That's that. What else about this movie needs to be addressed?
Okay, so I want to talk about this because, you know, we just talked about the Flash, and I like the perception of the Speed Force there. Yes. I know Zack Snyder likes slow-mo, but I have to say that I much prefer the I'll talk about the Wonder Woman scene here at the beginning with the terrorists. So, you know, in she moves fast, like blink of an eye fast on camera, I think it looks so much better than when she moves in slow-mo. And I think the slow-mo should be reserved for Flash to show.
Ooh,
to like illustrate the time dilation kind of thing, because like we're sure, you know, like in the scenes where it's slow-mo, it's kind of from Wonder Woman's perspective as she's like watching the bullet and like moving the stuff out of the way. But I feel like, I don't know, if me as an audience member, I much preferred watching her move fast and how like that just shows the super speed that she has in a different way that differentiates it from the Flash. Like when the Flash moves fast, you know, he's in the Speed Force. And so that's how it's illustrating that he's moving fast. And I kind of wish they had kept that separate. It would have probably stripped, I don't know, 45 minutes off the movie. I feel like, you know, having Superman move really fast and having Wonder Woman move really fast to illustrate their super speed versus the Flash having everything slow down, I think creatively, like it makes it feel more unique and different, because the Flash's speed is different. He's tapping into the Speed Force where you know, Superman and Wonder Woman are just super fast, right?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but they did do that for Superman. Like whenever he moves in super speed, it is specifically in non-slow-mo, in blur effect.
I believe so. But they did it for Wonder Woman, I guess, just to dial up drama in that scene. And I have other issues with that scene.
Oh, really? I thought it was really good.
I mean, like, she straight up, like there's a lot more blood. She straight up murders these dudes in front of these people.
Yeah, it's Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman murders dudes. To be fair, they were about to, like, blow up, like, half the block.
I mean, she didn't in 1984. She, like, Wonder Woman 1984 was the best
part. This ain't 1984.
I'm just saying that the Wonder Woman in Wonder Woman 1984.
We're in the Snyderverse, Matt. Jack Snyder's all over this, man.
Jack
Snyder's
about?
We're not
Zostus League. Yeah.
This is Zostus League.
Yeah, but like.
This is Zostus League.
Like the fact that she blows up that entire floor of the museum to kill one last dude. And then she's like, all right, is everybody okay? And the one girl's like, can I be like you? And I'm sitting there thinking, you mean you want to, like, murder people in front of children? Okay, cool. Somebody needs to put her on a watch list. It was bizarre. It was so bizarre. Like, I mean, there's people in there. Yeah.
Is it murder if it's, I mean, like, hang on. Now, I don't, you know, I don't like heroes killing. Like, that is something that I am very much on record as being opposed to. But it's Wonder Woman. She's an Amazon. She's got a sword. Like, that's what she does. Except for, you know, as you pointed out, she didn't.
Wonder Woman 1984.
She didn't that one time she was supposed to.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Wonder Woman 84, they did such a good job showing her not kill anybody. Right. And that's why I thought it would be. And it would have made so much more sense where, like, she kills Maxwell Lord and, like, that changes her whole character. And now
not in 84 anymore, man. She's been through some stuff.
I mean, I get maybe Wonder Woman 3 will explore how she goes from, you know, the best portrayal of Superman that we've had in years to somebody who murders people in front of children. Wonder Woman 84 was the best Superman movie we've had in a long time. That's what I'm saying. And then now you go from that to Wonder Woman murdering people in front of school children, like violently killing people in front of school children.
You don't know what's happened since the 80s. Well, you do know what's happened since the 80s. You are what's happened since the 80s. Like, you know,
are you telling me that my birth in 1984 caused Wonder Woman to go off the deep end and murder people in front of school children?
Yeah. Okay. She's like, I'm happy to let people live their dreams. And then you come along and you're like, hey, you're supposed to kill Maxwell Lord. She's like, oh, I didn't know that. All right, well, thank you, Belle.
And then she flies off and kills him right
there. For mansplaining how to be Wonder Woman. Little baby infant child thing, you. And then, bam, she's out here murking dudes.
Yeah.
In front of the kids.
Yeah.
For the children.
Yeah, like that. I disagreed with how that scene went. I didn't.
Wow.
I didn't think that was a good choice.
You make a compelling argument. I thought that it was an improvement over what came before. Hey, can I ask you a question? Speaking of your personal impact on this movie.
Yeah.
Did you know that the screenplay is by a guy named Will Bell?
Yeah, that's my second cousin twice removed.
Yeah, no, it's spelled it's spelled the B-E-A-L-L.
Yeah, I saw that. I have no idea if there's any relation whatsoever.
Oh. In June 2020, Bell was hired to write screenplays for the upcoming Justice League film. Superman, Batwoman, Wonder Woman main characters. Bell replaced with Academy Award winning Argo. Oh, but he was replaced. His script was later scrapped by Warner Brothers, and Bell was replaced by Academy Award winner Argo Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice screenwriter Chris Terrio. So your cousin maybe wrote a version that was better than what we got.
Perhaps.
We've all been blaming Joss, but perhaps it was Chris Terrio all the time, except that, you know, he wrote Man of Steel, or rather, he did write Man of Steel. All right, sorry, this is a tangent. I was just curious if there was any connection. Wait, hang on. Wait, who is this individual? I'm sorry. His credits in terms of screenplay writing are Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker.
I thought
Joss Whedon's Justice League. Belt.
Wait.
Who is this individual and why has he been destroying movies?
Okay, fine. I'll admit it. It was me.
No. No. Don't miss. No. This is the guy that replaced you or your cousin.
Oh, the
this
wait.
This is Chris Terrio.
Chris Terrio replaced Will Bell on
Justice League.
Oh, and he was the one who wrote Rise of Skywalker?
And he wrote Rise of Skywalker. Yeah.
I thought what's his face wrote that?
I'm wondering what's up with this dude. Like, these his biggest credits are some of like the biggest like swings and misses in recent years.
That's interesting.
Yeah, right? See, look, I've been sitting on trying to write this novel like all year, and then like, you know, the other night this is a tangent.
You working on a novel?
I am working on a novel.
Good ideas in there. Some friends yes. become enemies. Some enemies become friends on your novel. Yes, no, no, that's a novel.
I hate you so much.
No. I'm sure it's fine.
We had a casting call. We were gonna do it, and then a pandemic happened. Anyway, yes, I've been trying to write this thing.
Oh yes, your novel. Like, yes. Do tell.
I started beating myself up over like it's not very good. But you know, I was watching Godzilla. No, yeah, Godzilla, King of the Monsters last night. And I'm listening to these characters and their whole, like, you know, them explaining their motivations. And I'm like, I just need to finish this thing. Like, it doesn't have to be that good.
You see, now, you know, you see Godzilla vs. Kong, that's a great movie where enemies become friends and friends become enemies. Yes. Very, very good inspiration there. Yes. Mm.
I haven't seen it yet. We're working our way. Watched King Kong Skull Island. Enjoyed it.
King Kong Skull Island was fun.
It was, and you know, so far, not enough Godzilla for me so far in the like what first third of King of the Monsters, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. You didn't like Wonder Woman murking dudes in front of the kids. I thought that scene was actually improved from where it was before. But it was more hardcore. Like, I think it helped communicate early on. This ain't your Joss's Justice League. This is something new. This is something different.
And yes, I understand that this happened after lots of decisions were made about the universe, but it just, like, Wonder Woman just felt the character who she was in 84 was just thrown out the window for this. And
you can't look, but that's the thing. You can't look at this movie.
I know you can't. You're absolutely right. I can't sit here and say that's a mischaracterization of her, because technically a this would have come first, and B, it's a completely different, you know, vision of this universe.
Exactly. Absolutely. So there it is. Okay, cool. All right. So there you go. Anything else to mention?
Yeah. You know, again, it was like the first time Christy and I watched it, we started it kind of late and we watched the whole thing through. Neither of us fell asleep, and it was compelling like the whole time. Like I never felt like, this is dragging. This is taking forever.
Does that include the Return of the King-esque endings?
Yeah. I mean, I was getting really tired at that point, but, you know, I still thought the story was cohesive and interesting enough to keep me entertained. I wasn't, like, looking at my watch, seeing, like, okay, well, how many more hours do we have? You know, kind of thing like that.
That kind of killed it a little bit for me, because I was really enjoying it, but the Martian Manhunter thing at the end felt forced and unnecessary. I did not mind. I actually definitely enjoyed the improved Lex and Deadpool, or not, I'm sorry, Deadpool, Deathstroke. Don't know why I got those two confused.
Yeah, that's a weird mistake.
Yeah, totally odd. Thought that that was a vast improvement in terms of what's come before, and I liked that. But the nightmare sequence, because that's the one that like had all the clickbaity, you know, YouTube thumbnail-esque stuff. That's the one that money was spent on, though. You could have just gotten a green screen off of Amazon. I'm pretty sure that Jared Leto did get a green screen off of Amazon. Like, you didn't need 30 gajillion dollars to shoot this thing.
What? We live in a society.
What?
We live in a society.
Val, come
okay.
on.
We live in a society. Yeah, I mean, the nightmare scene, like, that's the thing about the nightmare scene, is it made me kind of want to watch Joss's Justice League 2 and 3. I don't.
Yes. That is true.
I was like, yeah. I'm totally into seeing where this universe goes. We're never going to see it, which is a shame, especially considering how much better this one was than Justice League. And it made me really interested in seeing what Zack Snyder wanted to do. Did it need to be in this movie? No, probably not. Did they need to spend $70 million reshooting that? No, probably not. Would the movie have been fine without it? I don't know, because I don't know what was reshot and what wasn't. If we could get like a definitive list of this was a reshot scene and this was original Zack Snyder, that would be cool. But yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. Some of the stuff felt a little tacked on there. But overall, though, I wasn't, you know, just like with Endgame is 3 hours. And I wasn't, you know, looking at my watch going, when is this going to be over kind of thing. Like every time I watch that movie, it's entertaining throughout the whole thing. And I felt that way on Zack Snyder's Justice League. You know, it was I'm trying to see like, OK, here's a question that I have for you. So like of Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and Zack Snyder's Justice League, how do you rank them?
Ooh, that's a good, okay. Zack Snyder's Justice League, of those three, is definitely the top. Definitely the top.
Yeah, I think I can agree with that.
Then probably Man of Steel, and then way, way down somewhere in a list I don't even know where is probably Batman v Superman.
Yeah, like if it was like 1 through 100, you know? As in, those are the number of pegs on the ladder, not like scores.
Right.
I would probably give Zack Snyder's Justice League the 100 spot, the top spot, right? And then Man of Steel, like in the 80s, 90s, somewhere, probably low 90s. And then Batman v Superman would be like at negative 12,000.
Yeah, that's about right. That tracks. I think that's right.
Okay.
I think that's right. Well, there you go. Will we ever see a sequel? As Bell said, probably not. If we did, I would love to see it as an HBO series that explores this concept. I think the concept of a Injustice storyline works better in an HBO context. It's not. It never should have worked and never should have been for a big budget franchise launching story. It's just not the right story for that. But you want to tell like a, you know, HBO, you know, not your kids' superhero story. Yeah. Go for it. I think it'd be great. I think that there's enough hype for it, certainly because this was the only new thing to watch on the planet. You know, there's definitely an audience for it. There's people are aware of it. So why not? Why not? But make it an HBO miniseries, not a movie. And yeah. let's get a new franchise going. Let's flashpoint this thing. Ezra Miller, do what you do best and choke out this timeline to get us another one. It's fine. Nobody's canceling for it. For some reason, I don't know. You know what? But it's fine. It's fine. It's really not, though. But to be fair, it's not. But it is what it is. All right. So there you go. That is our Justice League, Jack Snyder's version of the Justice League.
No. It's Jack Snyder's Zostus League.
Jack Snyder's Zostus League review. Hope you enjoyed it. You know, what did you think of the movie? You probably shared it like 3 months ago. We're just getting to it now because that's what it all panned out. We'll be back next week with returning to our Earth 90 Flash TV talk, picking up where we left off. If you want to get caught up with us, you can find those episodes, of course, on the Flash TV talk podcast feed. That's going to do it for us for this week. But for me, for Belle, for Belle's mom.
Hi, Mom.
Have a just Zostus kind of day, I guess.